Chapter 15. The sounds of the Conqueror returned to their full roaring ambience as Majo ascended to the flagship's more populous decks. His meeting with Lork had not gone as he had thought it would, leaving the World Eater with more questions than answers. What right did a legion truly have to oppose the will of its Primarch? What would the Emperor see, or the other legions? And was there even purpose to such an opposition? What could be gained from resisting Angron over the nails, when they might never be able to be replicated?
Hail the Unbroken Centurion!
Majo started, jarred from his introspection at the centre of one of the Conqueror's bustling thoroughfares that led to the ancillary docking bays. He did not see a face at first, as the speaker pushed his way through the crowd, but the tang of counterseptic on the air was all the hint he needed.
"Apothecary Serlac," said Majo,
keeping his tone neutral to mask his distaste. Of all his brothers, none embodied the obsession to have the Legion follow their Primarch into madness more than the one approaching him.
"Well met."
Garland Serlac emerged from the mortal crew and servitors parting from his path. He grinned as he stood before Majo.
"I did not know that you had come back aboard the flagship."
"Conferring with some of the other captains," Majo replied. "Taking stock of our present situation and readying contingencies to be put into place. How fares the Primarch? Has his condition changed since?"
"Since your lexicanum cast him into a psionic coma,"
Garland chuckled.
"Yes, about that."
He gestured for Majo to walk with him.
"Come, brother. There is something I think you would like to see."
"I have seen more than enough of these creatures," Majo growled,
as he looked down at the surgical slab and the dissected Genon upon it.
"Both dead and alive."
"I'm sure you have," smiled Garland Serlac.
The air was cold within his laboratory. Already the place had darkened the mood of the 18th captain. Seeing world-eaters he had fought alongside and watched die in battle cut open and pulled apart by servitors, as though they were mere specimens and not honoured legion kin.
"But that is not why I asked you here."
Major's attention returned to Garland and the Genon on the slab. The false man's skull was riddled with wires, connecting it to a bank of cogitators set into the far wall.
"When Khan first brought me this,"
Garland gestured to the Genon,
"I believed it to be purely mechanical. So, like any other piece of salvage technology, we sought to study its function, under controlled conditions, of course. We ran an electrical current through it, trying to restore power to selective areas. And once we did, we discovered that we had interrupted something. A signal. Partly psionic in nature, partly mundane."
"Thinking machines," said Majo with disgust.
In spite of the inhuman nature of the Martian tech priests, all the disparate strands of man were singularly opposed to any resurgence of the abominable intelligences that had wreaked untold suffering in bygone darker ages.
"These things are machines, that is true, but the will that guides them is not. We have determined through our study of the signal it was broadcasting, as well as their anatomy, that the Genons are not merely autonomous machines masquerading as humanity. This entity, its thoughts, its movements, all were being controlled remotely by a human mind. It is possible that a single mind can control hundreds, even thousands, if the command is not complicated."
"A command such as standing in a crowd between us and their cities," said Majo.
"Precisely."
Garland nodded with a smile.
"The entire population, the true population, could be no more than a few thousand souls, and yet they control millions. It is truly extraordinary."
Major's mind returned to the crystal dome where he had met Ona. The honeyed words of the Genons flickered through his memory, spoken in that bizarre shared chorus.
"Disgusting."
Garland snorted, a dry laugh that accompanied the slow shaking of his head.
Are we really so different in your mind? Both drawn from base humanity and elevated into something more? We by the Emperor's genius, and they by their civilization's technology. Both are incredible efforts of science and will. Yet only one has won your scorn, Captain. Do you think yourself an abomination as well? Major was in no mood to indulge the apothecary's baiting.
And what difference does any of this make? He asked, folding his arms across his chest. This changes nothing.
In regard to this compliance, yes, admitted Serlac. However, for our efforts to create a working reproduction of the nails, it is revolutionary.
A chill shot through Major at the words.
Explain.
The largest obstacle we face is not creating the machinery of the implants, said Garland. Such technology is little different to that utilized in the creation of any other graft or augmentation. Where we stumbled, and where the lack of templates for this archaeotech was felt most acutely, was in the manner in which the implants interface with a living brain. There once existed such standard template constructs for devices such as these, but they have been lost to us since old night. Most, it is feared, forever.
Garland glanced at Major.
While the Primarch's fall was a disastrous event that has thrown the Legion into upheaval at the moment, it has also given me unprecedented access to his butcher's nails, to study them, and the enhancements they provide to our Lord.
Major stiffened at his brother's choice of words, calling the affliction wrought by the cursed implants enhancements, but held his tongue.
Seized by some small epiphany, I compared the data we had gathered from the Genon and Angron and found that in more than one sense they overlap. We believe that the technology employed by the Genons is based on the same standard template construct lineage as the Primarch's enhancements, and as such, by utilizing their design, we can finally recreate the nails in a fashion that allows for a stable, survivable outcome, and subsequently mass implantation across the Legion.
You are going to use this, said Major slowly,
glaring down at the butchered android.
Use these things to make a replicant of the nails.
A stable replicant.
Garland nodded, accepting a data slate from a menial and glancing over it quickly.
Yes.
A thousand thoughts ran screaming through Major's head. It had finally happened. Garland had unlocked the means to recreate the nails and damn the entire 12th Legion.
You can't fix him, said Major bitterly. Can you? The Primarch. Otherwise you would have by now. All your efforts to remove those accursed implants, to keep them from driving him mad, from killing him, all met with failure.
The implants cannot be removed, said Garland calmly. Not without killing him.
You failed, Major continued, and thus your only recourse is to infect the Legion with the same madness as our father.
Garland set the slate down carefully, returning his full attention to Major.
If you mean obeying the commands of our gene-sire, the father cast into being by the Emperor himself, and who by his will controls the fate of this Legion, then yes.
Serlac took a step closer to Major, their feathered breath mingling in the chill air.
This is a war, and we are soldiers. Soldiers obey the commands that are given to them, no matter what they may be. Even those among us who reject that label, who call us warriors from some misguided sense of martial hubris, are even more beholden to the will of their king. Our king. I did my duty. We do as he says, Major. We take what he gives to us, and he has given us the nails.